Good morning. God bless each one of you this morning. Thank you for singing the songs this morning. The song service ministered to me tremendously. So thank you for that. God was using some of those things in my heart as He was dealing with me this morning. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 28. I have several verses here we want to look at, draw some things from. And these Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19 through 22, and each verse could be one message in itself. There's a lot of things here that we don't have time for. So we'll just try to look at some of these things briefly. Chapter 28, verse 19 through 22. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. We have some repeat things here. I feel like most of these verses tie together in a lot of ways. And honestly, as I looked at these verses, there's a lot of negative things in these verses, and I'm sorry, I didn't choose the verses, I was assigned them, but I think, I want to be faithful and look at these things. Verse 19, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Okay, just looking at that, it's very self-explanatory. Practically, if you want something to eat, you have to work, and there's work involved in getting food. God ordained it that way. He told Adam that by the sweat of his brow, he needs to work to sustain himself. We can look at it that way, just practically, and in the end of the verse, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. And vain persons is empty or worthless people. And I would say that empty or worthless equals poverty. So we can look at it practically. Proverbs 12, verse 11, and I have quite a few verses that I'll be looking at. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. It's basically saying the same thing, but in a little different way. It's saying he's void of understanding. He isn't getting it. He doesn't have wisdom. So we see there's the one is working, the one's not. So the one has bread, and the one is brought to poverty because of the way they're going. But I think there's some other things here that we can learn when you look at these verses. And a lot of these other verses in Proverbs, you see two very different characters illustrated. And in verse 19, it's two different characters. It's not just their occupations. Is tilling the land is not necessarily more spiritual than maybe some other jobs, maybe working in a grocery store. But there's a different heart here. There's a different purpose in what they're doing. There's a reason for God's blessing. God's blessing doesn't just happen. The reason I say that tilling the land's not more spiritual, there's a lot that could be said there, but in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4, it says that the plowing of the wicked is sin. So if a person's wicked and his heart's not right, his heart's not turned towards God, he's not, so to speak, plowing in faith, then even that is sin. So what's happening? I think we could go down to verse 20 and we could borrow the second word there and we could put the word faithful. He that tilleth, he that faithfully tilleth his land. So we see in verse 20 that the faithful man has a blessing. He's faithfully doing what God has put before him. He's not following after vain persons. He's not chasing after the things of this world. But God has given him something to work with. God has given him and he's being faithful in his duty. And another thing I want to look at is in 1 Samuel chapter 2. I think there's another thing we can draw from this, or we can elaborate on this a little more with these verses. And to borrow a phrase, it's called reciprocal honor, the law of reciprocal honor. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27, we'll just read some of that. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, and at mine offerings which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And he goes on there and tells Eli that because that he has honored his sons above him, and what's going to happen, what the judgment's going to be. And we can stay there. So we'll go back to 1 Samuel. There's two different characters here, as I said before, and the desire to follow after vain persons, as the person in the latter part of the verse, shows a heart that is not turned towards God, is not honoring God, and the person that is plowing his land and he is receiving. There's a reason that God's blessing rests on him, and it's not just because he's plowing his land. It's because there's a different attitude in his heart. There's a different motives in his heart. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4, and to make the point. So sometimes we okay. Let's just read. Account for 1 Samuel chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And the account goes on, And in verse 17, he tells Eli that his two sons are dead and that the ark of God's been taken. And Eli fell backwards and broke his neck. And the one son's wife, gave birth to a child and died in childbirth. And we can look at that account. If we didn't have the verses in chapter 2, we could say, that's just the way things were. But the point that I want to make is that God had said that because of what Eli is doing, and because of what his son's doing, there's going to be judgment. And there is, and so it was a carrying out of that. And we can look at it, and Eli's two sons died. So what? And the ark of God was taken, and then Eli died. But in reality, there was a whole chain of events that were happening there. Eli was told, "You're not honoring me." And his heart was, and the hearts of his sons were turning away from God and not honoring God. God loves to pour out blessings, natural and spiritual blessings, but he cannot do it where there is wickedness and where there is dishonor towards him. Proverbs 21:8 says, "The way of a man is froward, but as for the pure, his work is right." There's two ways. We can look at it practically, and I think it's right. There's a practical case being made here. But there's also a lesson we can learn from this. Moving on to verse 20. "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." There's several things we can consider here. One is, what is a faithful man? And the other thing we could consider is, why does he have a blessing? A faithful man is someone who's firm, who's steady, who has fidelity. In Proverbs chapter 11, there's a picture of this. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 through verse 26. "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." There's a small picture of a man that's faithful in giving, not selfish. It says he shall abound with blessings, and those verses bring that out. There's blessing that follow a faithful man. A faithful man is doing what's been placed before him. You can look up at verse 19 again, tilling his land. He's doing it by the means given him. He's not following vain persons. And there was a verse in Colossians. You don't have to turn there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 through 23. "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Being faithful. And there's a blessing. There's a blessing that follows that. And if we look at the latter part of the verse, "But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent." And not be innocent could be translated, shall not be blameless. There's something with something that happens when riches are gained, when riches are gained with haste. I think a term we're all familiar with is a get-rich-quick scheme. There's something that happens there that is not, the person that does it this won't be innocent. And I don't understand all those things. I didn't write Proverbs. In verse 19 and 20, we see the proper method of gaining riches or of acquiring means to support ourselves. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 21, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Chapter 21, verse 5 through 7, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. Riches made hastily, or riches that are, there's a lot of things that my mind go to that can be done. And there's things that are more profitable than others, and I'm not against making a profit, but there's something about riches that are made hastily, and they're often made, usually made, depending on what it is, they're made at the expense of of other people or our own conscience. And we, sometimes we don't, as I shared in verse 19, there's a law here that God's put in place. And sometimes we don't see, we do these things, or we see this being done in it, and there's a word that we use, or I hope we don't use it much, but in the English vocabulary that I don't like, and it's luck or lucky. Wow, that was a lucky move, or I really lucked out there. There's something, I don't think we should say that. In Daniel chapter 4, there's the account of King Nebuchadnezzar. He's walking in his palace, and he's saying that this is the, he's preening himself, and he's saying this is this great Babylon that I've built, and it says in the account says that the words were still in his mouth, and God spoke, and God said, "Whoa," he says, and he pronounced judgment. Because of this, because you're not giving God the honor, and he pronounced the judgment, he's going to eat grass like an ox, and he's going to... And it said that the same hour that it was fulfilled. the point that I want to bring out there is that we can say it doesn't matter. We can say, well, that was just, he made a lot of money, and then he made some bad choices in it. He just lost it all. But in reality, God said that he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And in verse 22, we'll get to some of that later. It says, he considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. And there is a verse that I was going to read earlier, but I failed to. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Just to illustrate this, it's just one verse there I wanted to grab. Oh, I'm sorry, my fingers aren't working very well this morning, or else my pages are sticking together. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. In looking at this verse, by whatever it means we make our money, whatever means we support ourselves, remember that God has a right way and there's also a wrong way. And the next time that we get a call from a telemarketer, let's remember this. I don't think we pay much attention to their schemes, but God has said it won't be blessed. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Okay, moving on to verse 21. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. And I'm not sure how to do justice to this verse, how to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 23. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, God is giving some direction to the children of Israel through Moses. And in chapter 1, verse 17, you shall not have respect in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. In those, it was particularly talking about in judgment. And respect of persons corrupts judgment. There cannot be proper judgment when there's respect of persons. In James chapter 2, he has a few things to say about this issue. And I'd like to read some of those things and just see how serious this is. In James chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. And then he goes on and gives a scenario there. For if there come in unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and there's respect given there to the rich man. And then he goes on there, and in verse 9. It says, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So this is a serious thing. And I don't understand it all. And I think you understand my heart. Being friendly and respectful to someone is not the subject in question. And I wasn't sure how to put this all in words. The thoughts I had, and I found this, and I'll just quote here. This is a definition that's given. One who, when responsible to give judgment, has respect to the position, rank, popularity, or circumstances of men instead of their intrinsic conditions, preferring the rich and powerful to those who are not so. And Romans 2:12 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. And it's something that is not, it's not a part of who God is. And there's not, I'm not saying that not everyone has the same IQ. Not everyone has the same gifts. Not everyone has the same abilities. And so there's a difference there, but every person, it says, instead of their intrinsic conditions, And just to, the God, every man was made in the image of God. Every man has the breath of God. And in that respect, there's not a difference in that way. And we shouldn't have that difference in our heart either. And it makes a big difference how we relate to people. There's people that I'd a lot rather be with. I'd a lot rather be with some people than with others. And sometimes you meet people and they just really, really get under your skin. And it's easy to just ignore those people and to have respect to the people that make you feel good and have respect to your friends. And God says it's not right. And in this verse, it says that for a piece of bread, that man will transgress. The person that has respect of persons is unstable. He can easily be made to transgress if he has respect for a person. And if the verses I read at the beginning spoke specifically about judgment, how can, if a judge, just consider the case of a judge, if an important person, a wealthy person that he knows will do him good if he passes a wrong judgment, if he has respect to that, how can he give proper judgment? And that's one sense of it. And the other sense is just simply viewing people, everyone we meet, no matter what issues, what problems they have, no matter how rich and famous they are, to treat people equally, to not ignore the one and pay attention to the other because this person comes from a less than ideal situation. Consider verse 19. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. I wonder if the person that's following after vain persons, I wonder if there might be he won't be able to tell them no. He won't be able to deal properly with things that come up, because he is with these vain persons and he's wanting to be included. See, I can speak from experience. I know how this is. I was an insecure little boy that wanted to be accepted by everyone, and I know a little bit how this works, how the mindset works, and you have to be really careful what you say. You can't stand up for anything, because you might get left hanging. And it destroys the ability to be faithful. Be, as it says in verse 20, to be a faithful man, to make faithful judgment, to be faithful in everything that we do. The desire to please the people and to stay on good terms with them is so great that truth and conscience can be laid aside for a piece of bread. Verse 22, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. We've covered some of those things in verse 20. We have the person hastening to be rich. And I think an evil eye would imply being stingy. And it says he doesn't consider. He doesn't pay attention to the fact. He's so caught up. He's trying so hard. He's laying everything else aside in his attempt to get rich, that he can lay aside everything else, and he can lay aside honesty. He can lay aside being fair to people. And his selfishness and his greed blind his eyes. And he doesn't realize, he doesn't even consider that poverty is going to come upon him. And as I said in verse 20, I don't understand why all these things work the way they do. But God said that riches gained in haste, they won't prosper. And I think the reason, one of the reasons is because that they're gained in a, usually the means used to gain them are wrong. There's a lot of dishonest practices by cheating or by lying. My heart in this is that we see that his eyes, it looks to me like he's not considering, he's not thinking, and his desire for these things have so grabbed his attention that he's not thinking clearly, he's not seeing clearly. And so I guess it challenges my heart, because let's be careful that our vision remains clear as we whatever we do. Maybe it's not riches that we're seeking after hastily. Maybe it's honor. In verse 21, it speaks of having respect of persons, and I think that to have respect of persons, to want that honor, to want to be honored, can blind our eyes. And those things blind our eyes, and we don't even consider what the end will be. Like I said at the beginning, there's a lot of negative things there, and I'm sorry. I would rather shine the light than to try to stamp out the darkness. But these verses are here, and we have to deal with them, and they have a word for me. I think they'll have a word for us if we're listening, and I think we can learn from them. That's all I have. Why don't we pray yet? Father in heaven, we love you this morning. Father, as we spent these few minutes together already, thank you, God, for your interest in this service. Thank you, Father, for the things you want to teach us. Give us open hearts. Give us open minds as we consider these things. Father, plant them into our hearts and change us, God. Father, we don't understand everything about you. We don't understand why some things work the way they do. But you've said that it's that way. Father, we want to submit our hearts to that. So help us, God. Bless the rest of this service. Bless my brother Alan as he comes up and shares. Give him strength. Give him clarity. Oh, Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.